And our Lord Jesus could not give up his spirit, lay down his life on that cross, until he fulfilled this very duty according to the commandments. What is the commandment? Honor thy father and mother. And our Lord Jesus, the perfect law keeper, ensured that he did not in any way feel in this duty to take care of his mother. The Proverbs tells us, hearken unto thy father that begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old. And even there on the cross, in his agony and suffering, our Lord was conscious that he must fulfill the scriptures. You see, our Lord Jesus came into this world not to destroy the law, not to abolish the law, but to fulfill the law. And as he was to be the perfect man and redeemer of his people, to offer us righteousness, that is, the perfect keeping of the law, he had to fulfill every detail, every jot and tittle of the law. None of it was passed. He fulfilled it all.
Welcome to Let the Bible Speak. This is Ian Gollaher, and today again we're continuing with the theme of our Savior caring from the cross. When he pointed out the need of his own mother and gave her into the care of John and said, behold thy mother. And to her, his mother, he said, behold thy son. These are recorded for us in the Gospels, and in John chapter 19, we learn how our Lord Jesus, even hanging on that Roman gibbet in agony and suffering, was filled with care and compassion for his own mother. And everyone that believes in the Lord Jesus, and everyone that put their trust in him, they are indeed the very focus of the Savior's care. And the Lord Jesus cares for us, and we're called in the Scriptures to cast all our care upon him, because he cares for us. We read in John chapter 19 and verse 30, it is finished. And he bowed up his head and gave up the ghost. The Jews therefore, because it was the preparation that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for that Sabbath day was an high day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken, and that they might be taken away. Then came the soldiers and brake the legs of the first and of the other, which was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they brake not his legs. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith there came out blood and water. And he that saw it bare record, and his record is true, and he knoweth that he saith true, that ye might believe. For these things were done that the scripture might be fulfilled. A bone of him shall not be broken. And again another scripture saith, they shall look on him whom they have pierced. And that's the message of the gospel. You are to look unto Jesus. Look away from yourself. Look away from your need and look to the finished work of the Lord Jesus as the only and altogether sufficient sacrifice to keep you, to save you, and to reconcile you to God. And so today, as we preach the cross, as we preach the Lord Jesus caring in his death at Calvary, I trust that your own heart will be drawn near and your eyes will be fixed upon him. Helen Franz Bauer wrote these words, three crosses on a lonely hill, a thief on either side, and in between the Son of God. How wide the gulf, how wide. Yet one thief spanned it with the words, O Lord, remember me. The other scoffed and turned aside to lost eternity. Forsaken is the hilltop now, and all the crosses gone. But in believing hearts of men, the center cross lives on. And still, as when these sentinels first met earth's wondering view, the presence of the Lord divides, upon which side are you? Yes, everyone has to make that decision and determination Am I on the side that is for Christ, trusting in the cross, the work that he has accomplished for sinners? Or am I an enemy of the cross, crying out, away with him, away with him? That is your decision, and you are called to put your faith in the Lord Jesus, to put your complete trust in him. And I hope that today, as you listen into the broadcast, as you hear us minister on the work of the cross, that the Lord will call you. Now we begin with our hymn, At the Cross, and may the Lord speak to your heart.
Alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die? Would we devote that sacred end for sinners such as I?
This is the human side of Calvary, and I want to encourage any that are troubled about the cares of life. Maybe you worry about the future. Maybe you worry about how you're going to provide for family and your own needs. Maybe there are widows, and I understand something of the burden and the loneliness and the fears that that can bring to a widow's heart. But if our Lord Jesus on that cross was burdened for Mary, for her care, her provisions, the practical needs of her life, you can be sure that the Lord is mindful and cares for your need. Can you accept that? Can you rest in that? Can you say with Peter, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for us? So this is through the eyes of Mary. That's the comfort she enjoyed. Now we come to look into the heart of the Lord. He loved his earthly mother. He didn't lose sight of earthly associations. Even on the cross, in the greatest hour of his atoning work, our Lord did not lose sight of family ties. You know, it is one of the most despicable things in the Christian world that people become Christians and forget family associations. It is something to be taken note of here. Although he was God in the flesh, he did not forget flesh and blood. Although he was dying on the cross in torture, his consideration for that most natural, most tender of all earthly bonds did not dissipate for a minute. He loved and cared for his mother. As firstborn, he met the responsibilities to care. And there's a lesson here for every one of us. Just because you're a Christian, just because now you are a professing believer in the Lord, it doesn't mean that your family ties are any less whatsoever. In fact, as a Christian, as we would have learned today in the 10th commandment, thou shalt not covet, it means that you must care. The spirit of a Christian is to care. The Lord was also conscious on that cross that he was fulfilling the scriptures. If you look at verse 28 in this chapter, it says, after this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished according to the scriptures. So in this very handing over the custody and guardianship of Mary to John, it was all about fulfilling the scriptures. And our Lord Jesus could not give up his spirit, lay down his life on that cross, until he fulfilled this very duty according to the commandments. What is the commandment? Honor thy father and mother. And our Lord Jesus, the perfect law keeper, ensured that he did not in any way feel in this duty to take care of his mother. The Proverbs tells us, hearken unto thy father that begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old. And even there on the cross, in his agony and suffering, our Lord was conscious that he must fulfill the scriptures. You see, our Lord Jesus came into this world not to destroy the law, not to abolish the law, but to fulfill the law. And as he was to be the perfect man and redeemer of his people to offer us righteousness, that is, the perfect keeping of the law, he had to fulfill every detail, every jot and tittle of the law. None of it was passed. He fulfilled it all. And that's why Paul the Apostle, as he preached and expounded the gospel, he said, Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. In other words, it's completed. There is one man who has kept the commandments. There is one man who did not feel in any one point. And so while we see here our Lord, tender, careful, gracious, he was also conscious that he was fulfilling the scriptures that he might be that perfect redeemer. Now remember that he was doing these things not just to be a good son to his mother, but to be a perfect savior of his people. And he is. Do you realize that you've broken the law of God? You realize that you've sinned and come short of God's holy standard? Is there one that can take your place? Is there one that can offer to you a righteous fulfillment of the law that will satisfy the heart of God? Yes, there is. And in the very minute, the very least, smallest points of the law, our Lord Jesus fulfilled it. And when you become a believer in the Lord Jesus and he becomes the end of the law for righteousness to you, you can be absolutely sure that it is a bulletproof vest, if I may use that language, a bulletproof vest. The devil cannot find any hole in it. The law cannot say, but this is not perfect. And the holy justice of God cannot refuse it. And Christ lived and died a perfect life and death that he would save us. And as we learned in those verses in Isaiah, that he became the suffering Savior for the transgression of his people in our place. And he took that place that he might save us. So if you're asking the question, do we have an all-sufficient Savior in all points? The answer is an absolute yes. And there is none other. There is none other. We come now to this human side of Calvary, and we look into the heart of John. John, who was the only disciple there that day, at least according to this record. And you know that John was our Lord's beloved disciple. He was in the inner circle. He was the one that was, if you might say, heart to heart with the Lord in so many ways. There was that extra close affinity and friendship with the Savior. And not because he was better than other disciples, and not because he was better than Peter, who the night before had denied the Lord, because you have to remember, John also departed from the Lord that night. When the disciples were scattered, so was John. He took off. He was filled with fear. He was human. He knew his limitations. And John fled. And for some reason, that upholding grace was removed from John. And the weakness, the frailty of his heart was revealed. And isn't that true of us too? Even though we're saved, and even though we seek to get close to the Lord as John did, we couldn't stand a day. We couldn't withhold any threat if we did not have the upholding power of the Lord. So John was a weakling. He did not boast in some victorious, mighty strength. He was a weakling who depended upon the grace of the Lord. But the wonderful thing is that he returned to the cross. He came back. And we find him here now on these hours of our Lord's suffering on the day of his death. He's there, standing by the cross alongside our Lord's mother. Look at verse 26. Let's read this together. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by. John now was not aloof. He did not come back with some kind of hesitancy and say, I better stand back a bit after fleeing last night. And you can be sure now that John was restored. I wonder, are we preaching to ourselves today? Recognizing that while we love our Lord Jesus, there are times that we're awful weak and we feel, and there are times when it seems the Lord's strength is taken from us and we flee. But there's also the way back and the way to be restored. If you today feel the distance between you and the Lord and that you've departed from him, and maybe not as much as Peter, but yet you've denied the Lord, and you would be shameful of that denial, come back to the cross today. There's a welcome at the cross for failures. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that a thrill to the heart? That the suffering Lord Jesus has a word for John. John was well received by the Savior. His courage had returned. His desire to be there and to help was again his portion. And here he is standing along with his mother.
Men may scale the highest mountain and descend the deepest sea, but no one could ever measure God's great love at Calvary. Love of Christ so pure and tender, love so merciful and free, far beyond all comprehension is the love of Christ for me. May try to live without him and his beauty never see. I shall ever sing his praises for the love he gave to me. Love of Christ so pure and tender, love so merciful and free, far beyond all comprehension is the love of Christ.
Then John was honored, with given the care of Mary. Behold thy mother. I don't think there could be any greater honor given to a disciple than to be asked to take care of the Lord's mother. I tell you, that's a whole lot of trust. Now Judas, he was given the money to take care of, and he didn't do a good job of it. I don't think the Lord would ever have entrusted Mary with Judas. This was a high, high honor and badge of respect. It put more honor upon John than all the gold and silver this world could ever afford to be given the task of taking care of his mother. And when the Lord opens up a door of opportunity for us to take care of the Lord's saints, because who is our mother? He that doeth the will of the Father, he is my mother, brother, and sister. And you and I have opportunity almost daily to take care, to help, to strengthen the Lord's saints. And that's an honor. That's the greatest honor you will ever be afforded this side of heaven, to minister to the saints. Of whom was it said that he was addicted to the ministry of the saints? That's an honor. I wonder, is it the state of your heart today? Of course, if you're away from the Lord, if you, like these other disciples, have fled from the cross, that opportunity will not be given. But if you come back to the cross and take your station and show your sympathy and your loyalty to the cross, then the Lord will have a work for you to do. Now, John was a good choice to take care of Mary, because that was a most wonderful Christian home. It was a good fit. If you look at verse 27, you'll notice that from that hour, that disciple took her unto his own home. First of all, he had a home. He had a home. John did not take a vow of poverty when he became a disciple. He was not like some of these Carmelite monks that take a vow of poverty and give up all property. He was a homeowner, and he had a home. A place of shelter, a place of refuge, a place that the mother of our Lord Jesus could call home. And it was a good Christian home, because the good news of the gospel came to that home. And you know that on the resurrection day, who was at the tomb? Not Mary, the mother of Jesus, but there was Mary Magdalene. And she ran and told the disciples, and they met Peter and John, and John, being younger, ran to the tomb. He was the first at the tomb. And then Peter came along, and he entered, and they both entered, and they believed that Jesus was risen from the dead. And in John chapter 20 and in the verse 10, what did they do that day after the news that the tomb was empty, the Savior was risen? Then the disciples went away again unto their own home. Can you imagine John the disciple bursting through the door of his own home to tell Mary, the mother of the Lord, the news of the resurrection? I tell you, that was the happiest home on earth that day. Both John, the beloved disciple, who had been at the cross and gone through the pain and the agony of seeing the suffering of the Savior and the Roman spear that pierced his side, confirming his death. What hope could there be now? And I'm not sure if John understood the miracle of the resurrection in advance. But on that morning when the news broke, on that first day of the week, and John returned home, and he said, Mary, you better sit down, because I've got something to tell you that's going to change your life. We went to the tomb, and the stone was rolled away, and the tomb is empty. And an angel told us, he is not here, for he is risen. Oh, what a home. What a Christian home. And the other siblings of the Lord Jesus, it seems to be that at this point, before the resurrection, they were not believers. That's how I read it. But John was. And this was a glorious home for Mary. Historians tell us that Mary lived for 11 years in the city of Jerusalem with John. 11 years. Some people think that Christian theology has no relevancy. Some people think that if you preach the Bible and the Word of God, if you preach the gospel of atonement by vicarious substitutionary death, the miracle of the resurrection, and the very essentials of Christian doctrine, that you lose touch with reality and the needs of men. Let me tell you, the very best home in Cloverdale or in Canada are homes that believe in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The very best people that are living in the power and victory of a new life are people who believe in the death and resurrection of Christ. We're not perfect. We have our difficulties and struggles, but we know where to go. And we know that if all fails in this world, there's a resurrection day for Christians. We do not lose hope, but we have this glorious hope. And here is a mandate to care for mothers. There's no more practical, personal, relevant command coming from the cross. And this is our answer to those who say the gospel has no relevancy to life. The pagan religions of this world, you look at what happens to widows. You look what happens to those that are poor and cast aside, very often abandoned. But we don't have to go to the pagan world to discover that. You can go to the nearest nursing care home for seniors in your area, and you'll probably find aged people, perhaps some of them Christians, and they are the forgotten. Whoever comes to visit them, when are they ever cared for, except by the state? I think there is a work for us to do. I want to commend Anne and Colin, who go once a month to the care home in Langley. I want to commend Calvin and those who join him from time to time. That has been the youth outreach ministry of our church. This is the putting the gospel to work. There's a work for us to do as Christians. The Lord speaks to us from the cross. Behold thy mother. There is someone in your life somewhere that the Lord would send you to be a helper. Don't fail. Don't flounder. And again, I come back to the point, maybe there's someone who has gone away from the cross. You've lost that central focal point of your Christianity. Come back. You can be restored. You can be received. The Lord will receive you. And he'll have a word for you. If I read his heart right, he takes you back. Some here today and you've never been to the cross. You've never trusted Christ as your Savior. Will you come? Will you put your trust in the Lord Jesus as the Savior of sinners? If I can be of any help to you, I'd love to help you today.
This is Pastor Ian Gallagher. Call me, please, at 604-897-2040. For all the details of our broadcasts across Canada, go to ltbs.ca.
This broadcast comes to you today from the Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale, located at 18790 58th Avenue, Surrey, at the corner of 188 Street and 58 Avenue. Our website is cloverdalefpc.ca, and there you can find gospel articles, links to our sermons, a gospel booklet called A New Beginning, and a link to watch our services online. You're warmly invited to attend any of our Sunday services at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. to meet with us as we worship God and to hear the preaching of His precious word. We also meet for Bible study and prayer every Wednesday evening at 7:30 p.m. Our Sunday School for Children and Adult Bible Class meet every Lord's Day at 9:30 a.m. from September to June. You can contact us at 604-567-1091. Alternatively, you can email me at pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com. Again, for all this information, please visit our website at cloverdalefpc.ca. Our burden is that you will hear and understand the gospel that will bring you to know the Lord Jesus Christ and His great salvation. This is Pastor Andrew Fitton. Thank you for listening today, and be sure to listen Monday to Friday at 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. and on Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for our one-hour church service, as we worship the Lord through the ministry of His Word.